is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the Resistance. We are the InfoWar.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Thursday, September 25th, 2014, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, the United Nations' newest scheme to infringe on gun rights. Then, how the car kill switch could affect you. And why is the Attorney General stepping down?
I don't know.
That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
No, it's about Fast and Furious. It's about the IRS targeting the Tea Party is now stepping down so they can reshuffle things.
Well, Obama's attorney criminal, Eric Holder, has announced that he's going to step down. It remains to be seen what he's going to do. Of course, he's not being indicted, unfortunately. He's going to retire with full benefits, and we'll see what he does afterwards. Is he going to be a university doctorate? Is he going to be a lawyer? Or maybe a CEO chief? Now, his tenure at the Justice Department was marked by a lot of efforts to take down the Second Amendment, things like Fast and Furious and Operation Choke Point, which we're going to talk about later in the broadcast. There's been some new developments with that. Maybe he'll be heading to the Supreme Court, since now we apparently have courts that uphold criminal government activity, like he's been a part of, and like he's been covering up. We see a case that might be headed to the Supreme Court that we've reported on several times here at InfoWars about Jonathan Corbett, who is suing the TSA, saying that they're violating his constitutional rights, which, of course, they are. He lost, however, at an appeals court 2-1 in a decision that sounded like something out of a Franz Kafka novel, specifically the trial. Now, what they said in this decision, two of the judges said that he had waited too late to file his appeal. Listen to their logic. The TSA's objection on his case, which was upheld by the appeals court, said that if they were continuing objectionable behavior for a certain period of time, 30 to 60, 90 days, it could never be challenged by anyone. And number two, that time period wouldn't be from the time that he began his case, but from when he proceeded in the court that they preferred. Basically, what they did was they moved him to a different court location, but kept the clock running. And then two of the three appeals court judges said, sorry, you missed your deadline. Now, he points out again in his blog, he says that this 30 days or 60 days, whatever, and forever immunized theory says that essentially the government, without violating your constitutional right to redress grievances, can create a law that says once we do it for a certain amount of time, it's permanent and we can keep doing it forever and you can never take us to court. They also went even further, and this was part of what the dissenting judge had a problem with and said, well, even if you'd done it on time, which, of course, he did do it on time. Even if he had done it on time, it was constitutional anyway. Understand what they're saying here. This is essentially what we've heard, supposedly the most conservative, most strictly by the letter constitutional judge Justice Scalia say recently. Well, it appears like the TSA is violating your Fourth Amendment, but they couldn't do it if it violated your Fourth Amendment. Do you understand the logic behind that? That's essentially what Richard Nixon said when he says, if the president does it, it isn't against the law. That's what Justice Scalia has said. That's what these two justices said. If the government does it, it's not against the law. That is flat out tyranny. That is where we are at this moment. Hopefully it will be heard by the Supreme Court. Hopefully they'll be a bit more honest. Now in news in Syria, we have a report from Paul Joseph Watson that an airstrike there has killed 6 children, 21 adults, 27 people totally. But I would say it's essentially mission accomplished because there were no friendly fire casualties. That's right. None of our ISIS allies in the war against Syria were harmed. And here's a quote from one of the locals in the article. He said, the coalition is not against terrorism. It's against civilians, as you can see here. The revolution has been going on for 4 years now, and not a single missile was shot at us by Bashar al-Assad and his gang. The coalition fired 2 missiles, supposedly targeting ISIS, but there were no ISIS members here, not even ISIS children. Well, the war against the Second Amendment continues, and as I mentioned, we were talking about Eric Holder. It has had many forms under the Obama administration. They have looked for every novel way that they can to infringe the Second Amendment. Essentially, the same sort of thing that you saw done in the District of Columbia when their gun laws were struck down by the Supreme Court, and they said, no, you're violating people's rights to own firearms. They said, fine, you can own firearms. You just need to leave them locked in a gun case at home. No, that's not allowing people to keep and bear firearms. And neither is it when you deny them the use of ammunition. That's the tactic that the Obama administration has been taking from day one. At the very beginning, they tried to withhold recycled brass from the military from the commercial market, making it much more expensive. Then they mass purchased billions of rounds of ammunition, drying up sources of ammunition. Now the tactic is to make lead illegal. And the UN is being brought into this as well. We've seen this happening in California. The United Nations is proposing a global lead ammunition ban. And as Kit Daniels points out, a UN agency that is proposing this is essentially doing gun control by the back door, making ammunition prohibitively expensive. Now, the UN conference said that voluntary approaches to restricting the use of lead ammunition don't work on a national level, and they need to address a range of societal issues, things like philosophical issues regarding gun rights and increased government oversight of shooting. They're making no bones about it. They intend to take away your fundamental constitutionally recognized right. That right doesn't come from the Constitution. It comes from the fact that you are a human being created in the image of God, and it is something that the Constitution recognizes as the fact that you're not a slave. That's essentially what separates you from slavery and tyranny. They want to remove that. They know they can't take the guns in a stand-up fight, so they're going to starve the public, taking away the ammunition. How has this worked out in California? A research firm there believes that it's going to result in a 300% increase in the price of ammunition in California based on a survey in California. They say these increases in ammunition price will drive 36% of California hunters to stop hunting or reduce their participation. An additional 10% were unsure if they would continue to hunt, and another 23% said they would likely hunt less than in recent years. So altogether, that's about 69%. In other words, 7 out of 10 people are going to be dramatically affected by this. It's going to stop them from hunting, stop them from shooting. Mission accomplished, apparently. And as I mentioned at the beginning, Eric Holder's Operation Choke Point that began this last summer back in May, where they try to stop the purchases of firearms and ammunition by cutting off merchants' ability to have access to bank transactions. Now, this is being extended to another level. The Daily Signal reports today that for gun shop owners, it's no longer hip to be Square. What they're pointing out is the device from a company called Square. It allows you to take a very small square plastic device, insert it into your smartphone, and that square has a mag stripe reader in it. It allows small business owners, especially someone who is at a remote location like a gun show, it allows them to do transactions on the fly, essentially run credit card transactions with that little device plugged into their smartphone. They want to shut down gun shows, and this is one of the ways that they're going to do it. In August, they modified the terms yet again. Now, the Daily Signal points out that the timing also coincides with banking relationship cancellations of pro-Second Amendment candidates and campaigns throughout the U.S., including last year's Colorado recall elections over gun control. And as I pointed out, they've tried three times to get comments from Square and have been refused so far. Well, after the break, we're going to have some more news about what banks are doing, this time to car owners who have poor credit. And we're going to have some news about victories in the info war about vaccines. Stay with us.
In the past decade, we have witnessed unparalleled scientific discoveries in the area of health. But no one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. DNA Force is one of the most expensive formulas to produce. Some of the ingredients in DNA Force are $12,000 a kilogram. We are using the coveted, patented, only American source of PQQ, CoQ10, and more. You want the best that's out there at the lowest price anywhere? Well, we're bringing you a total win-win. The ultimate value, cutting-edge, trailblazing game changer that also supports the InfoWar. We have produced a limited run of DNA Force, and it will take up to 12 weeks to produce more once we sell out. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. DNA Force from InfoWars Life.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life, where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield, Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality, freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
Welcome back. Now, you know you're winning the information war when the other side has no response but to resort to censorship. And that's essentially what has happened to actor Rob Schneider. He's had his television ad for State Farm pulled because of his anti-vaccine views, according to The Wrap. Now, it's not necessarily anti-vaccine. What he wants is informed parental consent. They say Schneider has long held a stance against vaccinations. In 2012, he came out against California Bill AB 2109 that requires parents to seek professional medical advice regarding the risks and rewards of vaccinating their children. Well, that begs the question, are those risks going to be honestly presented to people? Or are they going to be lied to, as the CDC lied to us about the vaccine autism connection 10 years ago and covered it up for 10 years. That's an important question. Now, Rob Schneider very classily tweeted this out. He said, "Thanks to all my supporters who believe, as I do, that parents should decide what's in the best interest of their children and not government mandates." That's right. They should be fully, honestly informed of the risks. They should not be railroaded into mandatory vaccines or intimidated into it by government or by big pharmaceuticals or by government officials who've gotten large campaign donations. It's too bad that the CDC doesn't have his integrity. It was just last week that a Hollywood Reporter reported Hollywood's vaccine wars, LA's quote-unquote entitled Westsiders, are behind the city's epidemic. They say vaccination rates are plummeting at top Hollywood schools, from Malibu to Beverly Hills, from John Thomas Dye to Turning Point, where affluent, educated parents are opting out in shocking, shocking numbers, leaving some schools' immunization rates on par with the South Sudan. I guess you're going to have to call in Bill Gates. Maybe he's got some vaccine mosquitoes that he can circulate around to force these people to take a vaccine. Maybe they should ask why the most affluent, best educated people are concerned about vaccinating their children. The elephant in the room is what's added to the vaccines, the mercury, the formaldehyde, the other things that are listed in the ingredients if you care to look to care about your children's health. Now, they go on to say that the immunization records submitted to the state by educational facilities suggest that wealthy West Side kids, particularly those attending exclusive entertainment industry favored child care centers, preschools, and kindergartens, are far more likely to get sick. Oh, so now what they're saying is they've got an epidemic because people are not getting vaccines. Well, of course, the people who are getting vaccines are protected, right? Because those things are effective. Or are they? Let me tell you, 100% of the kids that I went to school with, kids in my neighborhood, got measles when I was a kid. We survived a few days of fever. Nobody when I was a kid was getting autism. Nobody was being afflicted with autism for life because of something they got injected with. Now, they go on to say that more parents in this demographic are choosing not to vaccinate their children as medical experts advise. They express their noncompliance by submitting a form known as a personal belief exemption, a PBE, instead of paperwork that documented that they've completed all of their shots. There you go. That's the way you get out. You file your personal belief exemption. And as Alex has pointed out many times in his show, every state has that. We haven't reached the point yet where we have mandatory vaccines. They will bluff and bully you into vaccinating your kids with way more vaccines than were ever part of the schedule at a much, much earlier age. But you can get out if you educate yourself about this. What they're concerned about, as they point out, is they're losing the herd immunity. Well, no, what they're losing is the herd mentality, to say that we all have to do this and we can't be honestly informed of the risks. Now, in other news, a victory is coming out in GMO corn, hopefully. An article from InfoWars.com today, Christina Sarich writes, here's some of the best news of all this year for non-GMO supporters. Frank Kutka is working to save our heirloom corn from crossbreeding with genetically modified corn. He's diligently been working for 15 years now, developing what he calls organic-ready corn varieties that have the ability to block cross-pollination, thus eliminating Monsanto's prevalently grown GMO corn from infesting organic farmers' crops. This is a huge problem for organic farmers. As they point out in the article, millions of acres have been planted in corn, and 93% of it is GMO corn. And of course, Monsanto is not required by law to do anything to keep from contaminating non-GMO heirloom corn. As a matter of fact, if it gets contaminated, GMO can sue them for royalties. Now, what he's doing is essentially fighting genetic modification with genetic modification, isn't he? But it's a different kind of genetic modification. When you breed different strains of corn together, you are not doing the same thing as we're talking about with GMO. GMO, when we talk about that in general, is really transgenic genetic modification. In other words, you are splicing genes in from completely different species into this species. You're not creating varieties of a species by selective breeding, which has been done for thousands and thousands of years. In this particular case, what they're doing is putting glyphosate into the corn systemically so that you can't even wash it off when you buy it. That is what is so dangerous about genetic modification. And that's important to understand that distinction between transgenic genetic modification and just selective breeding. Now, in another victory, we have a whistleblower being awarded $447,000 by a Caddo District Attorney's Office. This is in Shreveport, Louisiana. This is a former Caddo District Attorney Chief Investigator who said he was fired in retaliation for an investigation they was conducting into the district attorney's office's purchase of 8 M16 fully automatic weapons in February of 2012. The guy said he was doing his job as an investigator, and listen to what he found during from 2009 to 2011. He found assistant district attorneys with lights and sirens making traffic stops, wearing SWAT-type clothing during work hours. He said they were motivated by, quote, a desire to be policemen rather than assistant DAs. You know, these guys are essentially power-tripping, dressing up like cops, acting like cops, and doing crazy stuff. If only we could get the cops to stop doing that kind of stuff as well. But at least he's getting rewarded for the unlawful firing as a whistleblower. That was not in their job description. And many of the things that SWAT teams are doing should not be in the job description of the regular police either. Well, now we're seeing something from the banks that looks like essentially a replay of the subprime banking fiasco. The only difference is that this is about cars. And as of yet, they haven't packaged a bunch of bad loans together and defrauded investors. But look at what they're doing to car owners. The New York Times reported today, miss a payment? Well, good luck moving that car. And they're pointing out that auto loans to borrowers that are considered to be subprime, in other words, people who have low credit ratings, as they define, below 640, have really spiked in the last 5 years. Now it's about 25% of all of the car loans. And in just the first 3 months of this year, it was $145 billion in just the first 3 months of this year. Now, what are they doing? They're charging people 29% interest in many cases. They're uploading, in many cases, a $700 loan origination fee, as you can see on this website. These are one of the lenders that is engaged in the subprime lending. Now, as the New York Times points out, all of this credit that is given to people to buy these cars that they can't afford comes at a steep price to their privacy and at times their dignity. And they also point out to their safety. And it doesn't just threaten their safety. It threatens everyone on the road's safety. They say people have been stranded in neighborhoods when they had their cars shut down. Many times the cars were shut down as they were idling at a stoplight, sometimes in the middle of an intersection, as well as people who were going down the highway had their cars turned off. And it gets even more bizarre. Look at this instance in Austin, Texas. We had a subprime lender tracked down the car of a lady who was fleeing her abusive husband. She went to a shelter to escape him. And because that was out of a four-county area that they told her she could drive in, they shut down and repossessed her car. Do you understand what they're doing? They're setting up with these trackers what they call geofences. In other words, they're not only taking advantage of these people with enormous fees, enormous interest rates, but they're also proscribing where they can drive their car. And if they get out of a certain area, they seize their car. Or they might look to see during the day if they're at work. If they're not at work, they might start monitoring them more closely, they said, because that person may have lost their job or maybe they're skipping work and maybe that's going to get them fired in the future. A very, very dangerous, very predatory practice. In another article from the New York Times that's related to this subprime bubble, they say, the subprime bubble for used cars, borrowers are paying sky-high interest rates. And again, as I pointed out, in many cases, up to 29% interest. Consider the fact that today, banks are essentially getting their money at 0% from the Fed. Yet, loaning it out to people on credit cards and with these subprime auto loans at 20%, 30%, even higher in many cases. That is loan sharking. There is no other word for it. It is organized crime. That was something that the mafia did for years. There were usury laws against it. Of course, those were lifted under the Carter administration when we had runaway inflation and we had interest rates. People were paying 13% for fixed rate home loans. They did away with the usury rates. They need to be brought back. It's obscene that they should be able to charge this kind of money to people. And of course, the only thing missing from this scheme, we've seen it all before. The only thing missing from this that was in the subprime mortgage defrauding was to bundle this together. If they take all these auto loans and bundle them together and defraud some investors, then it'll look exactly like the mortgage loans. Now, just so that you understand that the government thinks that you're their slave with absolutely no rights, look at what the Forestry Service is proposing right now. According to the Daily Callers, they say feds could fine you $1,000 for taking an unauthorized photo on wildlands. Photos taken on federal wildland must now be approved by the U.S. Forest Service. And anyone who wishes to take photos or film commercially must be granted a $1,500 permit by the service or face a fine of up to $1,000. Now, supposedly, this is to protect the wilderness from exploitation of commercial gain, according to the U.S. Forestry Service. That's a bunch of nonsense. And it just goes to show how we have a situation where there is regulation without any representation. As a matter of fact, one of the senators, Senator Wyden, said that this was troubling and an unnecessary burden. He says, especially where reporters and bloggers are concerned, this policy raises troubling questions about inappropriate government limits on activity that is clearly protected by the First Amendment. Exactly. Why is it a problem for you to take a photograph of the government's forest or their wildlife? Why would that concern them? How is that impacting anything? What makes this even more strange is that unlike the national parks, the Forestry Service actually does give companies commercial access to things like logging and mining within their area. And they have a huge amount of area that they cover. For example, they have 190 million acres in the United States. 8.5% of the land in the United States is U.S. forestry land, about the size of the state of Texas. And they want to lock that all off and say that you need to have their permission to take a picture of any of that. What are they afraid of? Wouldn't it be a good thing for people to take a picture of wildlife, of the forest? Wouldn't it maybe make the public value that more? Maybe what they're concerned about is what we might see that they're doing with their crony capitalist partners. Just as we saw Harry Reid in Nevada setting up solar farms and other schemes for his campaign donors. Maybe they don't want you to see what they're really doing to the forestry land. There's absolutely no reason for this. This is worse than what King George, or King John rather, did to Robin Hood and his men, saying that they would essentially not be allowed to kill any deer. This is something that doesn't impact those areas at all. Photographing forests is not a crime. They say they want a public comment period. Send them your comments. That's my comment on that. Well, that's it for this segment, but stay with us right after the break. Leanne McAdoo is going to have a retrospect on the career of Obama's attorney criminal, Eric Holder.
Hi, I'm Dr. Group. Today, I'm proud and excited to announce a new product to the InfoWars Life product line. Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. Backed by real FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. People are suffering from all kinds of digestive issues these days. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, everything that you're exposed to on a daily basis ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. My main focus was to come up with a remedy for this, something that's safe and effective that anyone can take on a regular basis to keep their intestinal lining clean. You have over 30 feet of intestinal lining that can be compacted, that can be toxic, that can be full of parasites, fungus, bacteria. What are you doing to keep that clean and flushed out? My recommendation is to clean your intestines at least 2 to 3 times a week to prevent the toxic buildup from going into your bloodstream. You owe it to yourself to take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off super detox special at InfoWarsLife.com.
Eric Holder has announced his resignation as the U.S. Attorney General today. It's a position that he's held for the last 6 years. So in honor of this big announcement, we bring you the accomplishments of the Holder DOJ. Now, a lot of people have accused Holder of being the most highly politicized attorney general. He came into the game with an agenda.
Every day, some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
So, of course, it's no surprise that Holder was later tied to the Oklahoma City bombings, an event that prompted several federal legislative gun control provisions, even though there was never a single gun involved. A similar allegation stands out in the Fast and Furious scandal, which was a covert DOJ mission labeled a criminal false flag by Ron Paul. With the full knowledge of the Department of Justice, ATF agents facilitated the sale of thousands of illegal guns to Mexican drug cartels and then dropped all surveillance of those weapons once they crossed the border. Those weapons showed up at multiple crime scenes in Mexico and at the murder scene of U.S. Border Patrol agent Brian Terry.
When were you first told or became knowledgeable about U.S. officials allowing firearms to be sold to the drug cartels in Mexico?
I don't know.
When was anyone in the White House first informed about the tactics that were used under Operation Fast and Furious?
Again, Mr. Chairman, I don't know. 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 That I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know whether or not. I don't know when the subpoena was issued. Well, I don't know precisely. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the specific questions. Now, again, I don't know what happened.
This is the guy caught perjuring himself in the memo CBS released last week, show that they said they were going to blame the guns in Mexico on the Second Amendment. Is that not a form of false flag against our most basic of rights, sir? And what would you do, if president, to people like Eric Holder?
Well, he should be immediately fired, and then there should be an investigation and find out if charges should be made. And that's obviously over the top. And all these kind of sting operations and false flag, this is criminal. I don't know whether charges will be made, but he deserves to have charges up against him.
In 2012, the House of Representatives voted to hold Holder in contempt after he refused to turn over documents related to the botched gun-running scandal. And as recently as yesterday, Holder has been accused of purposely stonewalling all efforts by members of Congress to look into Fast and Furious. Now, Department of Justice senior officials have on many occasions barred or delayed inspector generals from gaining access to documents that were crucial to their investigations, including the AP wiretapping scandal. Now, the Department of Justice illegally seized phone records of reporters and editors of the Associated Press, including their home phones and cell phones, and also those of Fox News reporter James Rosen.
With regard to the potential prosecution of the press for the disclosure of material, that is not something that I've ever been involved in, heard of, or would think would be a wise policy.
So did Holder lie under oath again? It was revealed that he personally signed off on the 44-page warrant that gave the department access to Rosen's email account. When it was revealed last year that the IRS purposely targeted conservative groups who were applying for tax breaks, IRS Director Lois Lerner twice pled the fifth. She conveniently suffered a hard drive crash. A Justice Department official in charge of election crimes refused to testify about his role in the IRS scandal. And then, oops, the emails of five other staff members involved in the investigation were also lost. And it has since been revealed that the IRS began destroying evidence as soon as the investigation into the targeting began. House Oversight Committee Chairman Daryl Issa subpoenaed Eric Holder, accusing the Department of Justice once again of stonewalling investigations by failing to produce relevant material. And the lead investigator who's been appointed to look into the IRS's political targeting of Obama's enemies happens to be a partisan Democrat who has donated more than $6,000 to President Obama and Democrat causes. Now, Ted Cruz is calling for Holder's impeachment after the attorney general has rejected the call for an independent prosecutor to probe the IRS's targeting of conservative groups. And that's not the only time that the attorney general has refused to enforce the law in order to protect this administration. When rampant fraud and corruption was exposed at Veterans Affairs, Attorney General Eric Holder announced the Department of Justice had no plans to investigate. And Holder protected another key player in the Fast and Furious scandal, the international banks. Banks which Holder has time and again refused to prosecute.
If you do prosecute, if you do bring a criminal charge, it will have a negative impact on the national economy, perhaps even the world economy. And I think that is a function of the fact that some of these institutions have become too large.
Eric Holder, these are your accomplishments. You've managed to slow walk all of the big scandals affecting this administration, saving the responsibility for a future DOJ appointee to investigate under a future administration. Now, unfortunately, you didn't manage to grab the guns, but you did manage to further degrade trust in the office of the Attorney General. And for that, we salute you.
Well, either you know or you don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
And that's our news for tonight. Please consider joining Prison Planet TV as a subscriber. Your contributions support our operation. Make it possible. And with that, you can share it with up to 11 other people. You can also share all of Alex Jones's documentaries. Well, join us again tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.